Good morning, man. I think we about have quorum. For those of you who are not aware, Mike took off last Wednesday for China. So he asked if I would... what did I say? China. He asked if we could wrap things up in his absence. And we decided, okay, we're going to make Mike proud. We're going to finish strong. So thank you to each of you who made it up here once again, early on a Tuesday morning. What I'm calling the great wrap-up, right? So Mike has led us through six marks of being a disciple. What I want to do is make this a little bit interactive today as well. So I'm going to need a few volunteers to read scripture throughout the session. So we're going to use the Bibles that are on the tables, or if you're more comfortable with with your phone or the Bible that you have, that's totally fine. Steve, would you mind opening us in prayer? Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So the great wrap-up, for those of you who maybe missed a week or might need a reminder, I wanted to quickly recap what were the six marks. Just reading them, identified with Christ was the first mark, supreme love for Christ, obedient to the Bible, fruitful for Christ, filled with love for others, and then last week we went over dying to self. Trying to make this a little interactive this morning, who remembers any one thing, either a verse or a word or something, that came out of that first identified with Christ lesson? Go ahead and just yell it out. Look at your notes if you have to. Beautiful. It's kind of, to your point, how do we identify ourselves, right? Identified with Christ, or am I my own? Thank you. Supreme love for Christ, a word. Mr. Johnson. Which is tough to do, right? I remember even at our table, we thought, scratching our heads a little bit. Are you sure? Thank you. Number three, obedient to the Bible. Dana. Yeah. Thank you. Fruitful for Christ. I'm going to take that one. I remember Mike's picture of his pear tree, right? And I thought, what a cool, and we were at his house, you know, a couple of weeks before for dinner. And I was like, that little dorky tree, you know, produces that much fruit. And he was doing backflips one morning to you know, give some of the fruit over to my wife and I. I thought, man, that's pretty cool. And so that picture just continually popped up in my mind, you know, little dorky tree, not that I'm poking on Mike's tree, but, you know, a small tree that's just bearing fruit abundantly. What a cool picture. Number five, filled with love for others. Yeah. Where are we on the priority list, right? How do we think about these things? And I shared with Mike just my appreciation. I said, hey, bro, thanks for bringing that out in such a clear, concise way. What a refreshing reminder of what it is. Let's focus on that. And really what I wanted to try to do today was just kind of fly through some of this as we're doing now, remind us, but then I have a challenge for us as the men of Rocky Mountain Community Church. That's what we're setting here as, in my view, yes, faithful followers, but called to action, and what might that look like? So I'm going to put out a challenge for us and really answer the question, now what? After I go through this slide here, that is, what are we doing here? Right? Who are we really? That was Mike's intent for the Ascent study, is to grapple with this idea of who we really are as believers. Let's get that clear. Let's put the Bible as the supreme authority, that which we will look to when we have questions, that which we will provide as our source, right? God, His Holy Spirit, and His Word here. And let's understand that. Let's dig in to this. And then third, how does God want to use me? And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning to say, you know what? Maybe we're scratching our head. I don't know all of you well, but where are we in the journey? What does God want us to do? There's a challenge there for each of us. So those of you who don't know me, I'll share a little bit of my story kind of throughout this, I suppose. But I went to Colorado Christian University, studied organizational management with an emphasis in Christian leadership. I was going to go and be a youth pastor. My father's a pastor, his father before him. And so certainly young Johnny is going to go into ministry full time. Doesn't work for Johnny. I was a youth pastor for a season, 8 years in a Korean church, and super, super awesome, great time, loved kids, still do, and somehow totally fell into the working world because my heart is for those who don't yet know the Lord. I love people who know the Lord. That's fantastic. I'm just not going to be very valuable to you. But if you don't know the Lord, you and I can have just a fantastically honest conversation. So day in and day out, we design and build data centers. That's what I do professionally. What that means is I get to talk to really, really smart folks, many of whom do not know the Lord. So one of the things I get to ask is this question here. It's one of my favorites. What problem are you trying to solve, really? And one of the things I say regularly is everyone gets to truth in their own way. And it's fascinating, right? These are just interesting, deep thoughts from John DeRitter. Not so much. But if you're an engineer, the question is, what problem are you trying to solve? Because it's easy for us to get distracted, right? So some of you are thinking objection, relevance. What does that have to do with what we're talking about here this morning? And so I would offer to you, as we look at six marks, as we look at this discipleship thing, as we look at, God, what do you want me to do? Hopefully the question that at least we're thinking about is, what problem are we trying to solve? What are we really trying to do? God, what would you have me pay attention to? What would you have me do? And I have a theory, and if any of you are like me, this is your answer to that. My guess is that there's a disconnect and that it bugs you. Okay? If I'm wrong, just go ahead and leave now. But if I'm, you know, anywhere close, stay tuned, because I believe Scripture has a lot to say about this. Now what? So it's, my professor, my very favorite professor, his name is Dr. Hume at Colorado Christian University. He teaches Pauline theology, was one of the classes that I remember. And I just absolutely loved it. And he got up on the whiteboard one time. I wished I could move around with his mic. And he drew these three concentric circles. And he just very carefully, he was an older gentleman, very carefully, very thoughtfully drew these three circles. I thought, okay, this is going to be fascinating. I wonder what he's going to say next. And what he did, he didn't have the colors, because CCU, I don't know if you guys know, it's Christian school, we're broke, right? All he had was a red marker, so it really looked like that. But then he added these words, spirit, mind, and body. So in the center, right, that middle dot was spirit. The outer ring was mind, and the middle, and then the outer ring was body. And what he explained in this was, this is us. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this drawing. For those of you who might be readers, you'll see, if you know Simon Sinek, anyone kind of nodding their heads yet? Simon Sinek, about 10 years later, drew the same three concentric circles with different words. And they said, center, how, why, what. And I thought, this is cool. There's something to this. I better start paying attention, right? As a stubborn Dutchman, you got to hit me about four times before I start paying attention. And we'll go through this a little bit here this morning, but I want you to just kind of burn that image into your brains. What Dr. Hume explained, and I thought, it's a shame we don't talk about this more in our churches. It starts with accepting Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We talk about that. Here's what we don't talk about. That's a physical transplant. Hear that. And all of a sudden, all y'all are like, what, bro? A physical transplant. When we accept Christ, we know our old self is gone and we have a new life. I never looked at this. I saw that on some different plane. It's a spiritual matter. Never really thought about that being a physical heart transplant that changed things for me. Because it's either real or it's not. Back to kind of what bugs us, we either believe this or we don't. Can I get a volunteer to read John 3, 1 through 8? Fantastic, right? Not the first time any of us have encountered that scripture. But it's the first time for me when I connected that as a physical rebirth, it changed things. I'm born again. We get that. Nicodemus, come on, Jesus. Bring it back to reality for me. He says, no. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Only the Spirit can give birth to the Spirit. It's a spirit transplant. Your old self is gone. The new Spirit comes in, takes residence in your soul, and literally changes everything. You cannot manufacture, get this, right? Good deeds. You cannot manufacture a changed heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I'm pretty profoundly convinced that in a lot of churches today, we talk about the idea of doing the right thing. We talk about the idea of trying to will ourselves into good behavior or scripture reading or pick your thing that's a good action instead of focus on, let the Holy Spirit do that work. Let's let that sink in as we accept the Holy Spirit. And we abandon ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that's when real change begins. And then what changes is what we'll get to in a second. So the Spirit, Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. Without this, I lobby, there is no real purpose. Another favorite teacher of mine is his name is Dr. St. Cyr. This one changed me as well. The thalamus, he juxtaposes Pauline theology, ironically, with current brain science. And one of the things he drew out for me was that the thalamus, which is, you can read that, fully functional at birth, has one question. Do you know what it is? It's, to whom do I belong? The thalamus, fully functional at birth, baby wakes up, has one question. To whom do I belong? Mama. Second question is, are you good, bad, or scary? Right? And we move through the brain and its functions. The reason I think that's fascinating, this spiritual rebirth, same question. To whom do I belong? It ain't mama. It's, I belong to my faithful Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's a very real rebirth. It starts again. With that as the foundation upon which now the Holy Spirit can rebuild our very being. Without this, there's no real purpose. What are you doing? Right? You're wasting air and skin, etc. The power of the Holy Spirit, through this power, we can renew our minds. Who can grab for us Romans 12, 1 and 2? Yes, sir. Be made new. Can you read that part again for us? By the renewing of your minds?
Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Be transformed then by the renewing of your minds. That is not an act of will that we, right, endure. It is not us subjecting ourselves to this manufactured will. It's us abandoning ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And the way that we're made new is interesting. Back to current brain science. This comes from Charlotte Mason. Habit is to human life as rails are to trains. Isn't that great? I just love that. What does that mean? It means your habits shall define you. That's a little terrifying, potentially, for some of us who maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 years of habits that we wished we hadn't developed, right? Because if we believe that, or we acknowledge that, habit is to human life as rails are to trains, brother, I can tell you where you're going. I can tell you what you're going to be doing. So unless there's a real change, and unless we abandon ourselves to the Holy Spirit, you're not going to change. You're certainly not going to change on your own. So how do we do that? And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a second, because hopefully there are some additional tools in our toolbox that can help us kind of frame this up. In the mind, as we think about how to be more intentional in bringing about real change, I lobby that we have a giant opportunity as the men of Rocky Mountain Community Church. What a gift. We get to come here every Sunday. We get to come here every Sunday and every Tuesday and be together, dig into God's word, invest in one another, look for real change. Let's agree. Let's make a pact. Whatever it takes, I don't care. Somebody way smarter than me has got this figured out and they're just dying to step up, and I know it. And the Holy Spirit's got that brother's heart like, hey, bro, I need you to change this community for me. That's each one of us has what I call the skills potluck. Something to bring to the party. The only sin is not bringing your thing to the party. Nobody cares what it is. I certainly don't. Mike doesn't, right? Anthony doesn't care. I'm not going to speak for these guys, but we're equipped. As Mike has talked about, the gifts, the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, everybody has their thing to bring. The only crime is not bringing that. So let's agree, as the men of Ascent and Rocky Mountain, we're going to be connected to God's word daily. Let's also agree that we're going to be connected to the source, to our God, through prayer daily. Let's agree to be connected to a maturing community, right? That means we all have to contribute. It's a life-giving community of which we have the opportunity to be a part, but only if we show up and we're fully invested in this thing. Talk to your table leaders, talk to Mike, talk to the men's leadership team here at Rocky Mountain, talk to the elders, talk to Pastor Anthony. Let's get this done, right? This idea of a maturing community. That's what I want to be a part of, right? I've talked to a lot of different guys, just kind of one-on-one. That's the only thing, really, that I want to be a part of. When I look at church, that's something worth investing in. You know, dorking around and kind of, you know, on the fringe, not interesting to me. And the guys that I've talked to are craving the same thing. I see a hunger, I see a thirst for authentic community, especially in men. And I know that you guys agree with that. There are some of you with whom I've spoken that have that yearning for the same thing. Let's bring that out. What does it look like? I don't know, brothers. Let's start the discussion, okay? That's the opportunity. And as we do that, we can literally create new habits. So the idea isn't, you know, Martin Luther, for those of you who have met with Martin Luther, would beat himself, right? Literally spend hours beating himself into submission. That's a lot like me. And I think, yeah, there's a better way. Let's begin cultivating new habits, right? Healthy habits that can work to define us. We're bugged by the disconnect. You kind of heard me at the top of the show explain that. Who's got Romans 7, 19 through 25 for us.
Mm-hmm.
Habit is to human life as rails are to trains. Isn't that fantastic? What Paul said in that passage, right, is we're bugged by the disconnect. The Holy Spirit that has taken residence in our very core is influencing our mind, but we have this thing at work that I have this idea, I know what's right, I know what I ought to do and I yearn to do, and yet it is the sin that's in me, literally the habituated response that has me in so many ways operating as though I'm a rail established on these tracks. What a wretched man I am. Who's going to save me from this, right? How? What do we do? Fascinating stuff, right? It's the Holy Spirit that renews our mind, that then works its way out and manifests itself through our bodies, through our behaviors. It starts with the Holy Spirit taking residence. Slowly, the theological term is sanctification. We are, through process, made holy. It is a slow process. There are certain accelerants. They are the aforementioned, spend time together, develop new behaviors, read God's word daily, pray daily, etc. Resonating with anyone? Are you bugged by the disconnect? Take a look at this. Back to current brain science. This comes from, it's a book about this thick, that otherwise I would recommend it. By Daniel Kahneman, Thinking, Fast and Slow. Anybody heard of that one? Nobel Prize winner in economics, interestingly. And what he draws out are two things, basically. This idea between system one and system two thinking. System one thinking is the habituated response. Think about backing your car out of your driveway, right? Many of us did that this morning. Anybody actually thinking about it? You're lying if you say yes. The idea is it's a habituated response. You know you didn't kill anybody backing out of your driveway today. You did it very safely, right? You adjusted the mirrors maybe, if Mama Bear took the car the night before, whatever, right? But all of these things just happen automatically. The human brain is wired for efficiency. The 95%, that's how many thoughts already exist that you will employ today. You're not developing new thought on a regular basis. That takes a very long time. It's a very slow process. So we operate in system one thinking most of the time. Other research suggests around 85%, that our day is not a thoughtful approach to the day. Sorry to bring it to you guys, but we're sheep. Especially as men, it's, wait a minute, I feel like I'm far more intentional than that. You're not. System two thinking is when we're truly focused, and each one of you knows that. You have a problem at work or something has shown up in your life and you have to focus, an exam, whatever it is in your life. That's when literally the pupils begin to dilate, all of the resources in your brain are now focused, and that's when change can take place. Back to this idea that, you know, how are we going to will ourselves into, you know, behavior? Not a great strategy. And God knows us, and he knows what we need. We are wired for community, and that's our opportunity. We're bugged by the disconnect. And I teach it's a good thing that we're bugged. Far more concerning is an apathetic approach to this. If you were not bugged, well, that's a concern. But you are bugged. That means the Holy Spirit's at work and wants to bring about real change. Remember and believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Christ comes and he changed the rules. Who can grab Romans 1 or 8, 1 through 4 for us?
There is therefore now no denial. We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Christ changed the rules. So because we have had this spiritual transformation, because we're made new by the renewing of our minds, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sorry, Satan, you'd love to attack me. You'd love to have me attack myself, beat myself up, judge others, etc. You can't. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a truth that we get to claim as believers and as men. right? We can accept one another. Mike encouraged us early on to be vulnerable, to accept one another, right? To invest in one another with no condemnation. That means Satan can't attack us anymore. And that battle, I lobby, happens mostly in our minds. And if we give the enemy that territory, he can do a lot of damage in that space. So we can claim that scripture is really my encouragement, guys. There is now no condemnation. You can't fight me, Satan. I'm not going to fight myself. I'm going to abandon myself to the Holy Spirit. That's our strategy, guys. The other truth that came to me, kind of like the skills potluck, the only sin is not bringing your pie, whatever. The only sin here, the only wrong, sin is a bad word, the only wrong we can do here is operate in pretense. Pretense is the enemy to real learning. If I pretend like I got it all figured out, you guys are not going to trust me. You're not going to want to be a part of anything with me, and I know that that's true for all of you, because you've all seen it. Pretense is the enemy to learning. What's our goal? To sit here and act pretty as a horrible veneer, or to truly get into God's word and truly grow together and be a part of a maturing community? That's the encouragement. That's our opportunity. And finally, let the Holy Spirit do the work. Did anyone look up Ephesians 3:20 for us? Stand up, read it loudly. Yeah, keep going.
Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end.
That's our aim. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly more than all we can ask or imagine, right? The elders have a plan for this church. I hope that they undershot it, because that's what scripture tells me. God's going to do abundantly more than all we can ask or imagine. Hey, Mike, thanks for pulling this ascent study together. My hope is that we absolutely crush whatever goal you could have put out for us. Hey, Anthony, right? Our goal is that we're able to do abundantly more, because he who is in us is far, far bigger than anything we can ask or imagine. If we believe that, it absolutely changes everything. When we believe that, it absolutely changes everything. My encouragement to us is that we seize the cheese, right? That we grab onto this opportunity and we don't stop. We support one another and we develop this. Some of this is self-serving, guys, this maturing community. Final thought here, repentance. So I was going to share this earlier. Okay, how do we develop this habituated response? Our destiny, let's start with the end in mind. Our destiny is to be like Christ. Amen? Our destiny is to be like Christ. How are we going to do that? If we can adopt this constant state of repentance, which is, I'm going to own, acknowledge, and change. So metanoia is the Greek word for repentance. It has three parts: own, acknowledge, change. Okay, get that? Back to pretense. Oh, it wasn't so bad. No, dude, it was pretty bad. What you think when you're in secret? Own it. Acknowledge that we're full of sin. We're flesh. Anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you, right? We're humans. Own it. Acknowledge it. Let the Holy Spirit bring about the change. When we own it, when we acknowledge it, and we change our goal, this changed me, guys. Instead of beating myself up and saying, oh, John, you know, you screwed it up again. God's got to be massively disappointed with you because you are a wretched dude. Instead, I own it, I acknowledge it, and I change it. The goal is to get to that repentant state faster. Why? Because that can become my habituated response. That's how I can develop this real change, right, intentionally through the Holy Spirit, who I invite into the process by owning, acknowledging, and changing what I just did. And my goal is to get to that state as fast as I can. Over time, right, that half-life, right, I looked at a woman lustfully. If I can own that, acknowledge that, and change that, my goal is to get to that state, if it happens again, faster, 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 faster. Guess what? I'm changed. I'm not doing that anymore, right? So for those of us who are very sensate and need something to hang on to, that's a good word that was given to me that I thought, wow, that's super useful. So I share it with you. Remember these six marks. We are identified with Christ. As believers, we have a supreme love for Christ. We are obedient to the Bible. We acknowledge it as the authoritative word of God. Then we can be fruitful. You cannot manufacture fruit, boys. That's sheerly the work of the Holy Spirit. We will then also be filled with love for others, and we will be absolutely not living for ourselves. That's our encouragement, guys. And that's our opportunity. The questions, what as we think and talk about bringing about real change, these are the questions I want to have us think about for the rest of our time. Look at the last 8 weeks. Some of us shared, but I want to see if we can dig another layer with our tables. Which one jumps out? What's God convicting you with? If you're willing to share that with your table, amen, brother. Pretense is the enemy to learning. Nobody's got it figured out. What are you reluctant to give over to God? Own it. Acknowledge that. How will you be more intentional as you continue to grow in faith? Be intentional. Make a commitment. Let your brothers around you help you in that. Number four, how can Rocky Mountain help you? Looking for ideas, right? That's kind of the plant. So what do you need from this church? Let's bring that to Mike, to leadership here. What do we need? What do we want? Bring that out. Okay? Thank you, gentlemen.